everyone. Welcome to Griplock, Foundation Disc Golf's weekly podcast. I'm Hunter, joined as always by Trevor and Connor. I'll be straight up with you all. Not a ton of disc golf happened this past week, but that's okay because we're going to talk about a ton of stuff because there's a lot of talking points. First of all, we're going to go to the Patreon question of the week. We're going to highlight what one of you did. You made one of our segments into a website, and it's incredible.
Oh, heck yeah.
We'll have fun with that. We'll talk to the Cascade Challenge. There also was the Tim Selinski Masters Major went down. Paul's headed to Europe. Trevor's trivia. And Simon had some interesting Instagram takes. So, poof, out of thin air comes Grip Lock. But first, poof. Word from our sponsor.
Today's show is brought to you by Double G Craft Jerky. Oh, don't forget the craft part.
I wouldn't.
Double G has all kinds of amazing flavors. Hot Boom Sauce, Garlic Lover's Dream, Nate Sexton, Sweet and Spicy.
My favorite.
That's their best seller, apparently.
Oh.
McBeast Barbecue, which is another one of their top sellers. They got original flavor, Smash Cracked Pepper, Teriyaki. That's my favorite. Whole bunch of them. They're delicious. They also sponsor the Double G Children's Foundation. Every bag sold contributes to the promotion of disc golf to youth. They buy discs and baskets for inner city children as well, and they donate thousands of dollars to families in need for money for events. With every bag of the McBeast flavor and max weight size of the bag, which is also like a McBeast sponsored one, money is donated to the Paul McBeth Foundation for that. They also offer a 1 ounce bag. It's a huge hit for player packs because that's just an awesome thing to get in your player's pack. You have a little snack for the course. You can also get hats. I'm not wearing mine right now, but you see me often wearing my Double G jerky hat. You can buy those on the site too. They do subscriptions, which is really cool. You can have jerky delivered to you every month. They do 3, 6, and 12 month options with as many bags as you want. Yeah, they also have gift cards too. So you can do that option to give somebody a gift of Double G jerky. But right now, you can get 10% off your order with code Foundation. That's 10% off your order with code Foundation. Make sure to support Double G Craft Jerky. They're a big part of helping us run the show and our tour that's coming up. So, yeah, shout out to Double G Jerky.
Fueling us on the road.
That's right. Code Foundation, 10%.
All right, so we're going to start off with a little Patreon question of the week. If you're not sure where this comes from, our Patreon is called the Heiser Club. We have Heiser Club members. And every week they get an exclusive podcast called the Heiser Club Mailbag where they ask us a bunch of questions, typically very like personal, get to know us a lot more questions. The ones I pull for Grip Locked are a lot more disc golf facing. And actually, if you want to join the Heiser Club, you can get a 30-day free trial. You can even get 10% or 15% off your orders, depending on your tier, at foundationdisc.com.
That's where we get personal.
You can get a 30-day free trial. So if you want to just save some money without spending any money, free trial. Head over to patreon.com/foundationdiscgolf to learn more and join in. But this question actually comes from 2 weeks ago, literally because last week's questions were pretty much all personal. They all were like weren't really disc golf based, which is what that show is for. So
which we love.
It's awesome. But for this show, went back 2 weeks, found a question from Sir Justice Ballard, longtime patron, said, "What is your favorite feeling disc in the hand and in which plastic?"
I remember answering this.
I don't either,
to be honest. But this is a
so,
great question.
Favorite feeling. Doesn't matter how it flies. It can be one of those discs where you love how it feels, hate how it flies.
There are some. Yeah, this is actually a great question because like my answer will probably not even be something that's in my bag.
We're going to stick with the plastic it's made in. So this isn't going to be one of the questions of like you can have a disc in plastic.
Yeah, yeah.
This is like genuine disc on the market.
It's a disc you felt.
Feeling disc. Doesn't matter how it flies.
I will say in my bag right now, one that really feels good is the Quake. Just like let me preface this by saying I power grip almost everything. So that's kind of like where I'm at here. Where like if I'm describing the way a disc feels in my hand, it's how my power grip kind of sinks into it. Man,
I got one. I really like the way that, and everybody believes this right now, so I'm not unique in this, but I really like the way that the hex feels. The first time that we had hexes in, like a while ago. I picked one up and I was like, this is one of the best feeling mid ranges I've ever felt. It was just so comfortable.
Yeah.
And then I got a hold of it in the freaking fission plastic. And then we all here are people who historically have enjoyed baseline mid ranges. So what I love about the fission plastic is you get good durability because you have the premium plastic around the rim, but you have like a baseline feel in the middle. So like the hex, which is a great feeling mold with like a baseline feel to it. It's incredible.
The fission also enhances the gyro effect.
Yes.
Because the microbubble technology in the flight plate makes the rim more heavier in comparison to the other discs.
More heavier.
I think I'm going to just go with Champ Thunderbird.
It's a good joint.
I haven't really found anything, which is funny because it's not in my bag right now. I have PDs in my bag right now. I go through phases where I just kind of want a PD. I want to switch it up.
Goes through phases.
But all time, like, I've never picked up a Champion Thunderbird and been like, this doesn't feel good to me.
Yeah, it's a good feeling disc. I'm going to say this is a disc that's not in my bag anymore, but I remember loving the way it felt to, like, power grip and throw drives with, and that is a 400 PA4. I loved the way that disc felt in my hand.
Are you talking about the ones that, the not clear ones, but the ones that are...
No, they were clear.
Oh, I really like the ones that were more like the star plastic.
The one
ones.
I had was clear, but it had a little bit of give to it. It wasn't, like, stiff.
Okay.
Which is typical to, like, that Prodigy plastic, especially for putters, and loved it. And you could just mash it, and my fingers just sunk into that grip. And another disc I felt that has a similar shape, and so I also liked it, was the Gateway Magic. I putted with that disc, but every once in a while I'd power grip and be like, this might be the best feeling disc ever. So there you go.
There you have it. Let us know in the comments down below, what is your favorite feeling disc in the hand and what plastic?
Yeah.
We'll wait for you.
I'm Jeff. I didn't need to get a 400 PA4.
I was letting him comment.
No, I was laughing at Trevor.
Yeah, Trevor. So last week we were talking about, I think it was last week on Crypt Lock. I need to sit up more.
It was last week. No, dude,
my
chill.
My posture is getting wake brutal.
You're good, man. Chill.
Last week we were talking about how ratings are like inflated in different areas, and like a 900 rated player in Virginia is a different rating in a different state, and blah, blah, blah.
Rating inflation.
And obviously it turned into a little bit of a joke, and then we said that it'd be very funny to have this ratings converter that is totally unbiased.
I need to find the Discord.
And 100% accurate based on math.
Somebody made it?
And someone made it.
No way.
And I tweeted
That's awesome.
I tweeted it out and let everyone know. And obviously, you Griplock listeners, you know that this is fake.
This is made by ML Pawns or ML Pones on Discord, a.k.a. Matt.
Shout out, Matt.
Heck yeah. Thank you, Matt, for making my dreams come true.
I tweeted it. And the first thing I did, obviously, is we're going to the West Coast. So I'll just do it again. So Virginia, we'll just call me a 940 rated player, and we're going to California. So let's see what a Virginia 940 rated player is in California. I'm 972 rated in Cali.
Dang, Hunter,
so
pop
I'm gonna
off.
Be like the typical people in Cali. If you're listening right now, I'm 3.2 strokes better than you. No matter what your rating is, that's how this thing works. No, if you're 972 rated in Cali, you'd be 940 in Virginia. So just know when the bogey bros come, we're bringing a little East Coast grit with us.
Yeah,
a little
East Coast grit.
We got that grit.
Yeah, EC grit.
And I'm gonna just to prove it's real.
All we eat is grit.
Just to prove it's real, I'm gonna go California 972. Two back to Virginia just to show you the conversion's always
make
the
sure
same.
It's consistent. Yeah,
yeah. So as it shows totally on works. My screen right here, it's 972. They're equal.
You're good.
I'm gonna refresh it really quick. Converge again. You know what? The site crashed a little bit. Let me just. I had to retype.
Yeah, it's Google. 972.
Google.
It's Google's
frick
fault.
Google,
yeah,
man. Back to Virginia. Okay, so it's a little different.
It said might want to consider MA3. I didn't realize you added that in there.
So we're about the same as Cali. We'll just call it that. I think that's fair. On my screen, right?
No deets. Yeah, we don't want to give away too much. This
we don't want people to really know what. Well, you know what? Let's just go back and let's just go Virginia 972 to Cali just to like lock it in here, convert.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's like a 980 rated player in Cali this time.
Oh, okay. So, yeah. Okay. So,
you know what? It's a point of diminishing returns. Once you get too good in a state,
that makes sense.
Then
that
it just
sense.
Like you start
what's
becoming
Trevor,
more.
What's your rating?
Trevor's probably like 10-10
ish.
So we'll go 10-10.
Okay,
let's just go Oregon.
I was
for Trevor.
40, I think.
Virginia to Oregon, 10-10. Oregon's about the same as Virginia.
Okay. Oh,
10-10 is about 1,000.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So Oregon.
If you think about it, trees. Yeah.
There are more trees up there. Let's go Idaho. Let's just go 1,000. Let's just go scratch golfer.
Idaho,
we want to Idaho
have
and play in Boise.
They have potatoes, so the potatoes will probably play in.
So Idaho is actually tougher. Toughest state we'll face.
Must be
so
the
far.
Potatoes.
The potatoes.
It's the potatoes.
Is Idaho known for potatoes for some reason? Where am I getting that from? Okay,
I
don't
know.
Gannon Burr's from Idaho.
Ask him about
potato
the
man.
Virginia to Utah. It doesn't even want to convert that one.
Are we going to keep that bit going?
We have to keep that bit. Yeah. Gannon Burr's from Idaho. And you can't tell me any difference. Utah. So Utah's broken.
Utah doesn't work.
Utah sucks.
You're not allowed to play disc golf in Utah.
That's what it is.
Because if it's
so Nevada,
they're inflated.
They're way inflated. So 1,000 rated player in Virginia, which is about what I am. Mm-hmm. I'm about 1,000 rated in Virginia. Like I said at the beginning of this segment, about 1,000 rated. I'm about 1041 in Nevada.
Oh, yeah.
So give them some
so
pointers,
what they're doing is you're going and you're spending all your ratings on the slot machines.
Yep.
And but you win every time. So you get a higher rating.
That's right.
41% return. And then from Nevada, we're going to Cali. So let's just go 1,000 rated Virginia to Cali. And I'm rated 1050 in Cali if I'm 1,000 in Virginia.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah.
So
beating by 5.3 strokes.
So basically, when Paul was in.
It feels different than the first time you did it.
No.
It's up because you're rating
different regions. Different regions. This time I picked Huntington Beach. Yeah. I wanted to see what Paul. So
that makes sense.
When Paul was 1050 rated and lived in Cali and then moved to Virginia, he was only 1,000 rated.
It's true.
So that's why we consider Paul an East Coast golfer. 1,000
rated Paul was different.
Is he got back up to the 1040, 1050
that
level golf
sense.
On the East Coast.
Yeah, I respect him so that's much now.
He was only playing on the East Coast at that point, too.
Yeah.
So that's why we consider him an East Coast
now
golfer.
Now is he a European golfer?
That's true. Can we go to Europe here?
No, that would be sick. No.
What coast is Europe? The North West. Coast?
Apparently, someone responded to my tweet and said that in Finland, people say like, oh, you want to improve your rating? Just go to the States.
Dang, dude. So.
Whoa!
Dang. I kind of believe
that. I like that, though, because like, how are you going to prove it's wrong? Well, I mean, we just sent an alien, Paul Macbeth, to your country, so we'll find out how that statement's true. Yeah.
But no, speaking of Paul, I
just
tweeted
sent the
that.
Predator over there.
I tweeted that link out saying like, this is 100% true. You know, try this thing out. It definitely will tell you the same results. And then Paul responded in like,
he was curious to see if they used.
He's like, what's the math? Like, because really to like have this like truly be honest, like players had to only play within their state and blah, blah, blah. And I just responded and said, it's 100% fake.
Literally exactly what we wanted to happen. We were talking about it last week happened. So that was amazing.
Like the listeners, our Griplock listeners, they were immediately responding being like, it's a Griplock segment. Like, and people were like, oh, this is the worst day of my life. Just found out the goat doesn't listen to Griplock, blah, blah, blah. So the Griplock listeners were like leaning into the joke and like going off with it in responses. Like,
pretty fun.
It was amazing. And then people who weren't Griplock listeners and still aren't probably, you're probably not hearing this, they were buying into
suckers.
It.
Suckers.
They were like, what the frick? Like, that doesn't make any sense. It was great.
They're like, dang, I'm so much better on the West Coast.
Yeah, so if you want to pull that on your friends, it's touchingdiscs.com.
Careful.
Careful. Touching discs, D-I-S-C-S dot com.
What was that? D-I-S-C-S.
D-I-S-C-S dot com.
Very funny that he named it that too.
So touchingdiscs.com. And you can just, you know.
I forgot Connor didn't know about that.
I did. I haven't heard about any of this.
This is like, I think this proves.
We are
like,
children.
This bit proves that. Like, we need to do this more often. Like, we talked about the Hall of Fame thing where, like, we just, like, invent a Hall of Fame and start inducting people and see if people get riled up about it. I think this proves, like, we need to start doing stuff like that more
I completely
often,
agree.
Because it's so funny.
Yeah, it was great.
Because people are just melting.
We've been talking about the West Coast a lot. We do leave on Thursday.
2 days.
Yeah.
2 days. So.
Tuesdays.
If you're Friday, if you live in Portland, Oregon area, come out to the Bogey Row Battles. We're doing one at the Milo Combination course. I think that you used a little bit of east and west, right?
Something like
the Beaver
that.
State course, new layout.
We'll be staying at the Holiday Inn Express on Circle Court, room 305.
Imagine you like actually
come for a good time. That's like the office.
Those all they, made up. Just let everybody know.
Yeah, I don't even.
Not the first part.
We also haven't checked in, so we definitely don't know.
We're
our room
the battle.
Number. The battle's real.
The battle's real.
Connor's. Yes. Connor's.
No, my
made
part
up.
Was made up. Don't listen to me.
We're going to play at
I jammed everybody.
We're playing at Milo at 1 p.m. that day, and we're playing the first course because we were going to play Milo East and Milo West, but they're not moving things back until the end of June from Beaver State. I don't know why, but so the first match we're playing at Timber Woods or Timber Park. I want to make sure I get it right. Timber Park at 8:30 a.m. And this is local time, and then the Milo East battle will be
local
at
time
1
to
p.m.
Portland.
Yes, local
not
time.
Not currently local.
Local time to where we are at the time.
Yeah, and then you know, follow us on Instagram and Facebook, Twitter, but mainly Instagram to keep up with what battles we're doing when in your local area. Because obviously we're going to the Bogey Row battles will be happening. If you haven't seen the post, Portland, Oregon, Boise, Idaho, Ogden, Utah, Las Vegas, Nevada, Phoenix, Arizona, Los Angeles, California, and the greater San Francisco area. We'll have one in San Jose. I think that's where De La Viega is. We'll finally get to play there. You know, I explained it on the podcast, my misspeak about De La.
I'm not sure.
So. I explained it to y'all, but when we, long ago, we were talking about De La.
The stone thing.
And we were saying about you know, how De La, it shouldn't be on tour, blah, blah, blah. I think it's going to be a blast. It's the course I'm the most excited to play. I think it's going to be a fantastic, it's going to be a very fun course to play, very fun recreational course, very fun to film on.
It's going
to
be recreational.
But I was like saying how it's not meant for tour, and I stand by that. And then I was saying that, like, after I went through it all, obviously you De La stands came after me, rightfully so. If someone said that about my little course, I'd say the same thing. And the next episode, we were talking about De La again, and I was like, I feel like if I ever step foot on the De La property, I'm going to get stoned. We're in disc golf. Clearly stoned in disc golf means something completely different. Well, stoned in life means something completely different than the way I was saying it. I was saying the like historical torture method of physically,
like where people pick up rocks and throw them
thrown
at you.
At you. And like I'd be like ran off the property because I was being stoned. And then I realized when I was looking at comments because I wanted to do a similar like the Bogey Bro where we had like blonde dude blows comment. Mm-hmm. I want to do one of those, but like West Coast themed comments. Mm-hmm. So I was trying to find them, and I was like, oh, there'll definitely be some good ones from De La. And then I found someone like getting offended, just thinking that I was saying there's going to be so many people smoking pot on the court that I'm going to just get stoned from secondhand smoking. And I was like, it just then clicked with me that if you just say stoned in a normal day-to-day life, you don't mm-hmm. mean the punishment.
Yeah.
So I wanted to clear that up before we get out there. I expected to be stones to be thrown at me. Is that more or less offensive to the De La people?
Yeah, we're gonna be murdered. I can't tell, but at least you're being clear.
I'm being
I appreciate
clear.
That.
No, yeah, I was expecting when we rolled up to the property, people to be picking up stones, chucking them at me to get me off the course.
Yeah.
I'm going to do it if they don't.
Yeah.
Now, sure. Speaking of the Northwest, we
that
did
rental
have the
van is going to be a tin can by the time we're done.
That's right.
We did have the Cascade Challenge go down. Silver event, Silver Series, what I meant to say the second time.
It was in Washington.
I almost said Oregon. It was in Washington.
The fake Oregon.
The fake.
The Washington.
It's okay.
Trail.
Actually, we're not playing in Washington, yeah. So we can say stuff.
Yeah.
I'll be real with you. I didn't really get to watch much of this. I saw some clips of it. I was in a friend's wedding all weekend long, so I was tied up doing stuff, unfortunately. But we can go over the results. And talk through kind of what this means for this upcoming weekend, the Portland Open, when they come back to Oregon.
Well, what I can say is that this event had the weakest strength of field, both MPO and yeah. MPO, by a lot. So
you got to take whatever. Results with a grain of salt.
Yeah, but. There is like one key result here that we'll get to, but most of the event, you know, this one was a true silver event in the sense that like the field was very weak.
This one, typically we watch coverage all the way through, and
we don't watch this.
That's true, actually. People in the comments, we don't watch disc golf. This is what we do every week, is we just look at the results and just wing it. We haven't seen anyone throw a single disc all weekend. That's what we do every week. That's this podcast. I was making sure, Katrina Allen, Paige Pierce, Kristen Tatar.
Yeah, it was a weak field.
All not in the field. I don't even think, was Valerie Mandahano even in
the
field?
No, she's not back till
she comes
DDO.
Back for DDO.
Yeah.
I knew she was coming back soon. Okay, so FBO, no one in the field. Winner, we have Kat Merch take it down. Sayananda second. Holland Hanley, Lisa Fekas, Maria Oliva.
There were like decent players in the field. Obviously, like I mean, Kat Merch has already won this year.
Yes,
but there was not any of like the big threatening names. Like Kat Merch was.
This was like the perfect example as to why I have a strong take against silver events, because there will be people who say Kat Merch has two Pro Tour wins. And I will say
that's just nonsense.
Like, I understand the silver event happened on the Pro Tour, but her first win and this win aren't on the same level.
They're not there.
They're not at all there. It's not the same thing. Like Ricky Wysocki, he won this weekend. Matt Bell, Evan Scott tied for second. Ricky hasn't won on the Pro Tour yet this year.
He has.
But
see, that's where
but
you
see what
me.
I'm saying.
He has. I agree that it's confusing, but you
people
can't.
People can't. This, but my whole problem is you can't. Like he doesn't have a Pro Tour win.
He does.
No.
Yes.
No.
Objectively, yes.
Objectively, yes.
Okay.
But he does not have a Pro Tour win yet.
He does.
No. Because a Pro Tour,
I understand that's what you're saying, but you can't just word it that way.
But the problem is,
what you're saying is wrong.
But the problem is in golf, you have like a PGA Tour win and a Korn Ferry Tour win or. They're not. You're never.
Okay, but there are PGA Tour wins with much much weaker fields.
Sure, but they're all on the same level. They're all elite events, if you want to put it into golf terms.
But what are you?
My problem is
your argument is that one is lesser than the other because the field's weaker.
So the technical term people should be using is elite series wins and silver event wins, but people use Pro Tour wins.
Yes,
that's my whole problem.
I agree. It's misleading.
So that's why I'm wrong. Saying if we're saying if we're going with Pro Tour wins to call if we're calling Elite Series wins Pro Tour wins, we can't call Silver Event wins Pro Tour wins.
Yeah, you should call them Elite
they
Series
need to be
wins
separate.
Or Silver wins.
So we can't say Ricky has a Pro Tour win.
Yeah, you
because of the way
you
it's used.
You shouldn't say it.
That's yes. why I'm saying Ricky doesn't have a Pro Tour win because of the way it's used in disc golf.
He does have a Pro Tour win. You should not say
but
it.
But you
that
see
way.
How it's used in disc golf, is what I'm saying.
Yes, it's confusing.
Yeah.
It's confusing.
Because the Pro Tour puts on both tours.
Yes.
But Ricky has a Silver Event win. Cat Merch has one Silver Event win, one Pro Tour win, is how I would prefer it to be said.
You should just say she has one Silver Event win, one Elite Series win. That's a lot less confusing. Because now yeah. what you just said is confusing.
Well, no, because what it should... Well, the Disc Golf Pro Tour shouldn't... The Silver Event should be, in my opinion, a separate thing.
But it's
like, there should be the Disc Golf Pro Tour... And right. there should be the Silver Event.
Well, they should just call it the Silver Tour.
That's what I'm saying.
That would solve the problem.
Because that's Let's, what that's
hey,
where the lines get blurry.
There's the solution. Let's just call it the Silver Tour.
Because I like
love it.
I
Connor,
like
are you in.
I'm in.
I like Elite Series wins being called Pro Tour wins.
It does sound
it doesn't catchier. It doesn't sound weird. It sounds weird being like Elite Series win. Pro Tour win sounds right. That sounds fine.
Yeah.
The whole problem is that encompasses the Silver Events.
So we need a Silver Tour.
So that's why we need the Silver Events. Like, you, it's just very misleading if you get to the end of the year and people say Cat Merch had two Pro Tour wins. You'd be like,
yeah,
okay, whoa, though.
Someday
yeah.
in the
whoa.
Disc golf history book, they're going to talk about Hunter's hatred for Silver Events. It's like the funniest thing.
Well, it's not. It's just I wouldn't have any problem if people just
it
agreed.
Keeps you up at night.
I just hate watching people tweet. And say like
he hates it.
People will say Cat Merch is a multiple time Pro Tour winner.
Yeah, true statement, but misleading.
Very misleading. That's yeah. what I hate about it. Is like you can look at it and you have to now you have to when you say that have a bunch of caveats behind it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
when it's like well,
frick the caveats.
Yeah, Silver we can make this tour. Way easier if we just all agree. Silver Events less important than Pro Tours. Everyone should agree with that. A Silver Event is less important than a main event.
When it's going to get tricky, though, is when there's a Silver Event that has a higher strength of field than a Pro Tour event.
I don't care. That's fine.
Then it just makes it tricky.
But a Silver Event win, you also have to factor in, people I think fail to factor this in, you have to factor in how much players care.
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, I think the essence
like, that's
of the whole
why,
thing
why
is...
Why does a major matter more? There's going to be major... The European Open has a weaker field than
just,
Pro Tours.
It's just super blurry that we have this, like, secondary lesser events, but, like, most of the field plays a lot of them. So, like, that's what makes it weird. This would not be difficult to discern if every week looked like this one, where...
Which this is the future. Every week will.
I would think, yeah. But as I'm saying, like, that's the only thing that makes it blurry is, like... And it's because players can't afford to fly... all over the place, so they are just they're just driving. So like, why would they not play the event and go make, well, if you're Rick or whoever, why not go make a few thousand dollars on your weekend?
Yeah.
And keep in shape. Like in the future, I genuinely believe it won't change until A, the purses get really big to where the players just like can take an off week even if they are out on the road, or B, they get wealthy enough that most of the tour can afford to be just flying.
Well, in
out
my
and
opinion,
back to
what'll make it change is the really good Silver Events will go up to be Elite Events, Pro Tour Events is what, because I think in the future, the Silver Events are going to be, it might also be how I view Silver Events, because in my opinion, they're just going to be the qualifying tour in the future. That's how I always think of them. Silver Events, I understand they are ran by the Pro Tour. I don't consider them Pro Tour events.
I think it's
because, like, to me, they're already a separate thing.
I think
my Silver brain's already
serve,
there.
They serve a few purposes. Like, I think one of the purposes they serve is being like an archive for events that they don't want to get rid of to anger people, but
yeah.
that can't host Pro Tours. Like, that's why the Beaver State Fling is a Silver Event. Like, if Memorial was still around, it would be a Silver Event. Like, that I think it serves half that
but
purpose.
But I think it also is a good, like, testing grounds for future ones.
Right, I think that's, like, secondary purpose. But then the Pro Tours also kind of said that they don't really give a frick because, like, Open at Austin, they just threw it right in there.
But what I think is...
So, like, they clearly are like, we don't need to do that. I don't think they really know entirely what they have in mind.
Well, clearly, because they also have Elite Plus events.
Hey, man.
What the frick's that about? We got one coming up this weekend. We got Silver Event, Elite Plus event, Majors. What are we doing?
Let's get... Hunter has to wear a t-shirt that says, like, I love Silver Events if he loses some challenge. Like, we got to get some kind of, like...
I'm fine with Silver Events.
I love
A-tiers.
Silver Events are more important than Elite Series.
I mean, that's just a flat-out
no,
lie.
Just say Silver Events are as important. That's
as
almost
important.
Worse.
No, what you would have to do is, like, get me a shirt that says, like, The shirt I would hate the most and is like
an equal sign Elite Series and Silver Bats. So they're just an equal.
No, because like those, that's too ludicrous. Like people would understand it's a joke. You'd have to lean into like Ricky Wysocki, one time Pro Tour 2023 winner.
Yeah,
I would hate that because I'd have to like explain my shirt to people. And be like, no, this isn't true.
Guys, don't. This is not true. Don't look at
like
my
the
shirt
other ones explain themselves. That one I had to be like, well, no, like I don't agree with my shirt. I have to explain it. But I think in the future, what'll end up happening is I think there'll be so many Pro Tours that there won't be a reason to have silver. Like players won't have a reason to play silver events.
I can see that.
Because like the other thing that kind of is confusing about the Cascade Challenge is we just had the Beaver State Fling.
Back-to-back silvers,
which is in Portland.
Yeah, back-to-back silver events up in the Northwest, you're just asking for players to not go there.
Well, what was confusing is...
Because like...
Beaver State Fling's in Escatada. I said it wrong last time. It looks like Escatada, but there's a K in there somewhere.
Escatada.
And it's like 20, 30 minutes from Portland. Then they go up to Washington for the Cascade Challenge, and they just come right back to the Portland Open.
It's pretty weird.
So I think a lot of players just like, frick them, just stay in Portland. Because like, why not just practice Portland Open?
It looked like a lot of fun. Did you see Alden and the gang playing snow tic-tac-toe with their discs? I don't know. I would have had fun.
But
nobody else?
Anyways, all of that said, Ricky Wysocki did take it down.
He's back. He
said it was his first. He said it was his first...
What did he say?
He said it was his first weekend feeling 100%.
No, did he say that, like, I want to know what like guys that win these events.
Wysocki Bomb's back.
Like, what are they saying?
I think he did say I'm back, officially back or something.
No, like did he say like it, that he won on the Pro Tour?
I know the Pro Tour says that. That's what really gets under my skin. Mm. Is like the Pro Tour is like
he didn't say anything.
The Pro Tour will call
crazy.
The Pro Tour will call both winners of silver events and Pro Tour events, main events, Pro Tour winners, and that's where like I start getting confused. I'm like, No. You can't call them both the same thing.
It doesn't say that. He just says it's your Cascade Challenge champion.
No, they don't always say it. They just like Jennifer Allen, she won the first time on the Pro Tour. They said. And stuff like that.
Oh, this one here. She picks up her second DGPT win of the season.
That is
misleading.
Frick that. Throw that out
Frick
the window.
Frick that, dog.
On here, I am making a grip lock wide statement.
Okay.
Right now. This is a rule.
If you speak against this, you'll be shot.
This is a rule on grip lock. Connor, you have the mute button. If anyone goes against this rule, instant 2-minute mute.
Yes, sir.
Okay? Oh, gosh.
If we say Pro Tour win, it is synonymous with Elite Series win.
Okay.
Silver event is a silver event.
Yes.
Yes, so if sir. We say Mr. Hunter, sir.
Ricky Wysocki does not have a Pro Tour win yet this year.
He does not.
Oh,
he
Hunter,
has a silver
my Hunter.
Event win.
Repeat it back to him.
Say it, everyone.
Ricky Wysocki does not have a Pro Tour win this season.
Yes. All right. Okay. That way, now you, the viewers at home,
can I eat lunch now?
You, the viewers at home, understand when we talk. If we say Pro Tour win, you know what we mean.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to help clarify everything.
And he said grip lock wide. So all listeners as well,
you
are
get
being
a 2-minute
held
mute.
To this as well.
You'll get a 2-minute mute.
Can we censor it too? Can he bleep it?
Yes.
That'd be fine.
That's mandatory. All right, if someone misspeaks.
I won't abuse that.
Please don't.
We'll wait till it happens naturally. Yeah. I'm sure it will eventually.
It will add a lot
I won't abuse it.
If someone slips, they get muted and you have to bleep it after so that our viewers don't have to go through that.
Okay.
Actually, I want you to voice dub them. And you say silver event in an intense tone when someone misses.
Silver event.
Yeah. Trevor's like, so Ricky Wysocki, he's a
silver event
winner this weekend.
Silver event. That's fun.
It is fun. But Ricky, there is one thing
about
Ricky.
Actually, never abuse it. I would like to do it then.
There is a thing with Ricky. Back a few seasons, his favorite word was momentum.
He loves it.
He loves momentum.
He
momentum.
Feeds it. He like there's not a lot of players that do, but he is
a
one of those
win,
guys.
A win, regardless of where you're at, a win's a win in regards to...
a win's a win?
Can you let me finish my sentence? In regards to momentum.
Really?
A win's a win in regards to momentum. Yeah. You go win a C tier and you're like, I just won.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You feel better than if you just lost. Like Gannon Burr, who just finished in 21st place.
Loser.
I mean, that dude can't feel good going into Portland.
What the heck, dude?
Eagle McMahon finished in fifth. He hung around.
Loser.
He was the fourth.
He lost.
He lost. Brody Smith had himself an okay weekend.
15th, baby.
15th. I'm just trying to find Gannon Burr. There he is, 21st.
Loser.
11 strokes off pace in a 3-round event.
Who came in second?
Matt Bell and
Loser.
Evan Scott.
Loser.
True statement. Lost by 3.
You're terrible, dude.
Yeah, dude.
Well, they lost. It makes him a loser.
That's true.
That's true. Yeah, that's true. Statement. You guys need to back off.
No,
yeah.
They didn't lose Connor in the Pro Tour, though.
True.
True.
Silver event loser.
Yes.
Suzer.
A little worse.
Ooh, dang.
Ooh. We need to get that ratings tool. I'm trying to think how we need to make that ratings tool, but you just like enter like what how many strokes you won a Pro Tour by or something like that, and then have it adjust for like what would happen at a silver event or like vice versa. Like,
oh,
like how can we spin the silver event thing into another one of those web tools? That's like, or just like say, oh no, this is it. You just say, it's just a questionnaire and it just says, did you win an event? And if you say yes, you get to the next question. It says, was the event in a lead series? And if you say no, and it says, was it a silver event? You say yes, and it says, you did not win a Pro Tour.
just a buzzer.
It either just says you won a Pro Tour if you hit that you won a lead series, and if you hit that you won a silver series, it just says, you did not win a Pro Tour event.
I was just going to say, we could make it where you just like type in a player, yeah, and if they didn't win, it just says loser.
Loser.
We need to just make a disc golf search engine that we control.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, what place did Matt Bell come in this weekend? Loser.
Where did he finish? What was his round rated? Loser.
Yeah, he did not win. He just says it in different ways. He was not the winner. He did not come in first place.
He lost by 3 strokes.
Yeah.
He was Gannon.
He was second best.
What happened to Gannon short. Burr this weekend? He lost by 11. Loser. That's all it says. Doesn't say what place.
That's funny.
That's how we are.
So that's the Cascade Challenge. Ricky did have a very mean spit out that, but to be fair.
Ricky throws spit outable putts.
To be fair, it was a very high putt.
Big dog be throwing
I saw a lot of tweets outraging about it, and I hadn't seen the putt yet because I wasn't watching coverage.
He throws like nose down high putts.
And then the Pro Tour posted the video of it, and it was like 4 or 5 chains higher than you. Because like, it was dead center. I'll give him that. But it did bounce off the pole high.
A lot of times he gets those ones that tuck up into the chains and then throw back.
Like this was just a straight.
It went straight pole.
But Ricky was like Ricky was leaning into it hard.
Got to start talking about basket design, guys. We should not. Listen, I'll say this much.
You know what? Did y'all watch the coverage?
Huh? No, sir.
I only saw a little bit.
Okay, so you might know the answer. What do you just know? Ricky got spit out on a basket on coverage by hitting the pole. What basket was it?
I have no idea. I didn't see it.
Like what?
Was it the pole?
Chain star, discatcher, veteran.
Discatcher.
I was going to say discatcher as well.
Veteran. Chain star. Okay. Here's what I'll say about the Prodigy baskets, and because like the Prodigy baskets have their flaws. Of course they do.
Well, disc can't get to the pole.
But disc can't. Well, no. But they have they wrap that inner layer like very tight around the pole and have like mm-hmm. those horizontal chains mm-hmm. to where you cannot have the situation where, because sometimes the disc just hits in an unlucky spot and turns into the pole and it just bounces straight off of it. And
that like, also is not what happened. This disc, I'm trying to find this.
I got
to
see this.
Sometimes nose down putts, what you're doing is you're showing the flat part of this to the chains too much and giving it too much momentum to swing back.
Well, that's what he normally does, but yeah. He said he hit pole. And usually if you hit pole, the disc just gets turned into it.
It looked like it did first time I watched it, but maybe not. It was a long putt. I think it bounced off the pole.
Gosh, it was bad, whatever happened.
Yeah, no.
It like seemed like it hit like fine.
No, it looked fine. It was just the only problem with the putt is a little high. That was it.
So it was a pretty good putt then.
It was a good putt.
It was a true
99% of the time it's in.
Okay.
It was not one of those like where you throw it and you're like, well, duh. Yeah. Oh, that's never going
to
stick.
I just want to get to the point. Somebody needs to design a software that can like individually track the disc and the chains on a basket and like analyze spit outs and find out why they happen. What are the most common trends for spit outs? Because like we think we know, but we might not really know. Who knows? And then like design a basket that like does better.
Or just sit an iPhone on top of each basket and ask AI to catch the putt.
That is true. AI will probably just take care of it.
Yeah. Now, this weekend, this is the important... We talked about this beginning of the year. This is when the split happens. Paul McBeth is officially in Europe.
He split up with the Pro Tour.
Which it is fascinating that he's missing an Elite Plus event, which just shows you...
Don't care.
...that you add the plus next to it, and players don't care.
He don't care.
Well, specifically, Paul McBeth does not care.
Don't care.
So this weekend, he's playing the European Pro Tour Estonian Open... in Estonia. I was going to pronounce the city. Not going to try.
Don't try.
Now, when we were going into the year, there was a lot of like questions surrounding his European tour, and there was a lot of scenarios of like, because obviously Paul's doing this as a brand building. This isn't a he's trying to win the Pro Tour season. This is a he's trying to grow his brand in Europe play. He will get silver event points for this. Remember that. But that's not really a factor as to why he went over there. Now, I would imagine Paul probably expected when he was planning this trip for his season to have looked a little different up to this point.
That would have been great to like have a win or like yeah. a top three.
How much more, I guess, like how with the start of his season, I don't know what I'm trying to say.
I feel
like
I feel
you
like,
get what I'm saying.
I feel like the feeling he wanted to have was, all right, first part of the season done, got at least one win. Like I can kind of just like play out this. I feel like what he could be feeling now is anxious to get back on the tour.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
because there's unfinished business there. Now I will say this, Paul, we know like a big part of his prep and like what he cares about these days is USDGC and Worlds and the yes. European Open, the three, and like he could so easily take one of the like.
But I think he cared about Champions Cup too.
I'm sure he does, but I'm just saying like there are three of the big events that I think he could literally win one of those three and say that his season in his mind was fine. Which realistically these days winning a major, I mean, that's a great season. Mm-hmm. I do feel like if it were me, I'd be like I wouldn't like the way that I left knowing that like it was not a good start to the season, but there's a lot in front of him. I will say this, like it's going to be fascinating seeing how he plays.
Well,
Europe.
does this,
he better win some of these events.
Well,
in
I
Europe.
Guess what sucks now is if you're like Lori Lettinen or Jesse Niemenen.
Who's dirty.
They're the two highest rated players behind Paul in this field. If one of them wins, it kind of sucks for them now. Because mm-hmm. like...
No, I don't think that's what's going to be going through their mind.
No. I'm saying public perception wise. It's a different than if you have Calvin Heinberg go over there right now.
Yeah,
or
I mean,
someone who's
you definitely
hot
can
tour.
Say like Paul is cold right now.
Yeah,
but
like...
He's still the reigning world champion.
Yes.
Like
I'm just saying like
I think that's a little bit reading into it. To say that like it's gonna hurt like if those guys go out there and beat Paul McBeth, who is still a very good disc golfer, like it's I don't think it's really gonna make that much of a difference. Whether if it was Paul there that they're beating or if it was Calvin, I don't think it makes
it would make a big difference in how I perceive them this year.
Because like either way,
Paul's
either
not
way,
in our top 10 right now.
Either way, anybody who beats Paul is confirming that they would be a legitimate force on the Pro Tour if they were to go over, because Paul is still a legitimate force on the Pro Tour.
Sure. Sure. Now, if they beat him consistently, like if Lori Lettinen, but if it's just a one-off win, I would somewhat disagree with your statement. But if they beat him consistently, yes, I would agree with the statement. But I think like previously we were saying coming into the European stretch, Paul needed to win all of them, or we expected Paul to win all of them.
Yeah.
Where's expectations now?
How many is he playing? Four?
I believe it's four prior to
like when people
so
come
we have
over.
The one, two, the Konopiste... When is the first one
that people are actually playing
silver
is PCS?
No, that's an elite one, isn't it? So, yeah, the Sula Open, PCS Open. That's a Pro Tour. I think the Skellefteå might be. Well, they're all silvers now technically, but more than likely he has one, two, three, four, five before the Skellefteå, which is the event before the PCS Open, which is a full Pro Tour, then the European Open. So he's over there for 2 months.
I mean,
all of June, all of July.
I'll say this, of that entire swing, including European, so one, two, that would be what?
Seven events. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight events.
Of those eight events, I think if he wins the European Open, then none of the rest of it matters. Because, like, ultimately, like, if you win the major, but if he doesn't win the European Open, I think he needs to win at least three of them to, like, take something away. I think he, in his mind, I mean, he should probably take four of five. I mean, the guy, like, his next best competitors are rated 20 points below. That's going to be interesting to see, because, I mean, like you just said, apparently you go to the States to get ratings.
Yeah.
So, which might, I mean, I don't know, like, maybe...
It could be true.
It could be true. I just cannot wait to see the field. Like, it'll be mind-blowing. Like, what happens if, like, there's, like, 10 guys that are just, like, killers over there that we didn't really know about, and they didn't really know that they were that good, and then Paul goes over there... legitimizes their hopes of like, oh, we could make it on tour, and all of a sudden next year the tour just gets flooded with just these guys from Europe. That would be awesome. So I'm mostly looking forward to this to see how these other guys stack up to Paul, because I think it's just awesome to like discover new talent.
How much pressure is on Paul? during this?
I don't think Paul really feels pressure. I would say, like, public perception wise, we're putting a lot of pressure on him because, like, we expect him to go clean house.
Yeah.
So, like, there, like, in that sense, there's pressure, but I don't think Paul cares.
Now, what would be interesting,
I don't think he feels pressure,
is let's just say that he does what we expected back beginning of the season prior to Paul's cold start. Because after his cold start, I'm expecting like 2 or 3 wins.
I still
European. I'm not including the full Pro Tour, the European Open, in that. I'm saying prior to those, I'm expecting 2 to 3. Because once the field comes over, then it's just like a normal Pro Tour, a normal major. As far as the top end of the field goes, but prior to that, I'm expecting 2 or 3. Going into the year, I would have said I expect him to sweep it before the Pro Tour field comes in. So my perception's changed slightly, but it'll definitely be interesting to see. Like, I mean, there's a realistic chance, like, he could go over there and there could be some killers that we're unaware of.
Well, there could be good players that know the course better and
not win any of them.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
But it'll be very interesting, though, to see if he goes over there and he does do what we expected. He does sweep.
Well, the interesting thing, too, will be those players are going to have the factor of playing on camera with Paul McBeth, who a lot of them probably look up to. That is going to make them pretty shaky.
Well, the good news if they're consistently there, then by week like 3, they're going to be used to it. But if Paul does go over there and he does sweep, he does pick up 4, 5, 6 wins, whatever it is, he could come into the PCS Open and the European Open with a ton of momentum. And then post European Open, he's going straight to Ledgestone, which is another event he likes. So the European Tour, where at the beginning of the year seemed like not that great of an idea, this is a great turning point for Paul's season.
It could
possibly
be, yeah. It could be a nice launch pad for him.
This could be something where he gets some wins. He starts getting some confidence, starts getting some momentum. The Pro Tour comes over for the PCS Open. He wins that. European Open, he wins that. Then he comes back with multiple wins and a major championship under his belt. And then he could be straight back in contention for Player of the Year and the front runner of the Pro Tour going the rest of the season, because we're heading into the stretch that Paul's very good at.
Yeah.
When we get back to the Pro Tour. Mm-hmm. So this could end up being a very big storyline if Paul gets momentum. It could also just, like, he's already got one flat tire, it could slice 3 more and just kind of like muddy his season. You're if he just gets tires. Over there, can't win, doesn't win the European Open, doesn't win that, and he comes into Ledgestone with just like, he basically went over and applied air brakes to his season.
Mm. Dang.
But in my opinion, maybe it's because I'm always a Paul McBeth fan, I think he gets over there. I think the ball starts rolling. He's going to be feeling good. He's going to be feeling confident. He's always excited to be in Europe. I think that excitement's going to translate to the course. I think he's going to win this first weekend. I think once he wins, it's going to be hard to get him to stop. And I think the ball's going to keep rolling. I think he's going to end up winning the European Open. And he's going to come back into Ledgestone with a ton of momentum. And no one's going to dominate the Pro Tour by, like, winning out. But I think he'll pick up 2 or 3 more Pro Tour wins and then possibly go off with Worlds or USDGC. He could end his season with 3 to 4 Pro Tour wins total, including the, like, PCS Open, not including silver events, you know, grip lock standard. 3 to 4 Pro Tour wins total and a major, and that would probably put him
ain't no way homeboys win.
He could
4 Pro Tours.
Well, PCS Open's 1.
Yeah.
Then if he's hot, which I'm predicting, Ledgestone, boom, he goes straight to Idlewild. Loves Idlewild. Boom. Now we're at 3 and the dude's on fire going into Worlds.
I think you're giving a little too much credit to momentum.
I'm just saying he could.
Well, sure.
He's a momentum player, man.
Yeah.
He could.
Some winning back-to-back nowadays is, what, like, do you almost think, impossible.
We'll go into Trevor's trivia post this, but I want to ask this question. Now that we've seen the Pro Tour kind of play out through, we're almost into June. We're almost halfway into the year. Player of the year, end of the year, what does their resume look like?
It's going to be Calvin. And what does he have already?
Oh, you're predicting the player of the year.
Yeah, well, because it's going to be Calvin. And because what does he have already? 2 Pro Tours and a silver?
I'll find it for you. Screw silvers. I'm saying Pro Tours and major wins. What is it? What is
I'm
their,
going to include silver wins. Well, the Pro Tour will factor.
No, our
it
player
in
of the year.
Okay. Well,
I'm not factoring silvers.
Well, I will. And I'm part of the panel. So
that's fine. 50% of the panel. Connor's the tiebreaker. So, Connor, silver's going to be factored in to yours?
I factor in half of the silvers.
All right. So about
25% of the silvers.
75% of silvers matter, right?
Oh, yeah.
How's that math work?
Yeah. Well, because you have, but you're at 0%.
I'm at zero. You're at 50.
I'm at 100.
You're at 100. He's that at puts 50. Us at 50, and then he adds an additional 50, which is split 25-25. I think it's 75.
No, it would go down. It would be, the percentage would be lower than 75 if we were at 150-0, because two of those percentages are lower than 75.
I don't know, man.
I think it'd be 25% if I'm doing the math correctly.
I say it's good.
Here, you know what? Let's just do this. 100 plus 50 plus 0. That equals 150. So it's 50%.
But it,
because we have 300 possible points to give out. You gave out 50.
We're like making things up right now. So I don't even know. Like, there is no structure or panel. No, listen to this.
We have 300 possible points.
Where does that come from?
Percentage points.
Okay.
If you're at 100% and 100%. Okay. We are collectively 150% in to silver events.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense.
Out of 300%
then
possible.
I account for whatever number me saying would equal the total being 50%.
That's what you did, 50.
Okay, then that's what I'm doing.
Nice.
Okay, Calvin Heimberg right now has one Pro Tour win, two Pro Tour wins, and one silver win.
I was right.
Two Pro Tours.
So I think that Calvin will be a player of the year. I think he finishes with four Pro Tour wins and one, he keeps the one silver and wins one major.
You think he wins a major?
I think his first major, I think he wins Worlds, and I think he wins two more Pro Tours. So I think that's the resume.
So you're saying four Pro Tour wins, one major is the resume it would take to topple Calvin? Or that's where you think screw Calvin, forget who he is.
Yeah,
just the player of the year at the end.
Three Pro Tours and a major is gonna be pretty convincing. I think
Pro Tours and a major.
Three Pro Tours and a major will put you in the conversation for sure.
If Macbeth has a terrible rest of the year, no Pro Tour wins, but wins two majors, he'd be mighty close.
Two majors versus three Pro Tours and one major,
he'd be
close but short.
Yeah,
I think close but short.
So if Paul wins European and then picks up USDGC. Close to player of the year.
I mean, yeah, but I mean, a two major season. Yeah, I mean, two major seasons.
No,
incredible.
Yeah, it's unfathomable, but it's possible.
It's incredible.
Time for fan favorite segment. This show's kind of all over the place today, but you know.
That's okay.
That's what Griplock's for.
Yeah, man.
Trevor's trivia.
You never know where a Griplock's going.
No. If you did, it wouldn't be a Griplock.
Yeah, you do. It's going right.
Could be left. What if you're a lefty?
True. You're right. That's very insensitive.
I just have a bunch of like fun questions. Somebody was tagging me in some StatMando tweets, and I realized they have some really fun like stats that I could turn into questions on here. So I've got a few interesting ones.
We can also call this segment Trevor's Titillating Topics.
Yeah.
I'm titillated.
So the first question, you guys can work together on these.
Trevor titillated.
The first question is, and I don't know, you can tell me
that
if you...
That sounds dirty, but it's not.
It does. You can tell don't me
if
you've again.
Seen these tweets or not, but okay. This one is best total score to par for FPO this season. I'll give you, first place is Kristen Tatar.
Okay, that's minus, what I would expect.
She's at 101 strokes under par in seven events.
Wow.
Who do you think, where do you think it goes from there? Under par.
We got to go... Oh, score under par?
Score to par for the season.
I'm not guessing the player, just the score to par.
No, you can go... I wanted to hear the players.
I think Owen Scoggins is second, personally.
Okay, yeah, I think it's a lead.
Mainly because Paige Pierce, up and down, up and down.
Okay.
Trina Allen, up, down, up, down. Owen Scoggins has been like the consistent...
So you think the resume kind of canceled out their good...
I think that... Well, I think that they're probably like third, fourth.
Okay.
But I'm just saying like... Kristen's up there because she's been consistently up there.
Mm-hmm.
The only other player I'm thinking of that has been consistently up there, albeit several strokes behind Kristen, is Owen. And with it several strokes behind on average, does this include silver events?
Yes.
Dirty stat, Mando. I'm team PDJ stats. That's a lot of events. 100. I'm saying that Kristen's beating her on average.
Mm-hmm.
Six strokes. Okay. We're going to say that there's been 10 events. So I'm saying Owen Scoggins is in second. I'm going to adjust for inflation a little bit and change up the
40.
Math. I'm going to go 50 under.
Okay.
You like it?
Yeah, I like it.
Owen Scoggins, 50 under.
That was a pretty good line of thought. So actually, second
it's all
place.
Wrong.
Owen is in third at 72 under.
Not second bad.
Place. No, it was pretty bad.
Second place. Do you want another guess at second? It is not Kat or Paige.
Okay, well, at least I had that right.
Yeah.
Kat is in fifth, and Paige is not even on this list.
Yeah, that makes sense. Another player. There had to have been an event that was like crazy scoring then. And a player must have went off. I mean, Kat Merch has won, but she's been all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
It needs to be someone who's played a lot of events. Could be like a sneaky Holland Handley.
Yeah.
What did Trevor's face do when I said that?
Nothing. Nothing.
Okay, well, the winner, this next person is going to be at 81 under par.
Close. Very close.
82 under par.
85 under.
85 under par. So this person is at 85 under par.
Okay.
Be someone who just doesn't really shoot over par. I mean, it could be like sneaky Missy Gannon. Just like never really over par, but never under par enough to win. But 82 is like...
That's a lot.
You're up there a lot.
85.
85. Even more.
Three more.
That can't be Missy.
You already said their name.
Holland Handley then. You want to lock in Holland Handley?
Sure. It's Holland Handley.
Heck yeah.
85 under.
It's impressive.
Missy is tied for fifth on the list. It goes Kristen at 101. Holland at 85, Owen at 72, Ella Hansen at 60, Kat and Missy at 53, Jessica Weiss at 46, Haley King at 42, Kat Merch at 40, Jen Allen at 35.
I would love to know what Paige Pierce is
at. Yeah, probably close to like even.
Well, I guess she had some events where she was over par.
Here's another question. Mm-hmm. So Eagle McMahon is the second MPO player ever to win a DGPT the week after missing cash at a DGPT event.
Second player ever?
Who was the first? And if you could guess the event, bonus points.
So they missed cash and they won?
They missed cash at a pro tour at 1 week, and the very next week they won.
Is this going to include silver?
It will definitely include silvers. It's a DGP.
But I'm saying, did this person win a pro tour, or did they win a silver?
In this case, they were not silvers.
Okay. That's what we're going low consistency.
Pro
tour win, and they missed cash at a pro tour.
They got high potential, low consistency.
We don't call them
that. Who do we think?
We got to think pro tour.
Connor's got a good line of thought.
Yeah. I think we can go Colton Montgomery is a solid option. Bradley Williams, a solid option. Trying to think who else has done it. Big Germ, James Conrad. But when Big Germ won Waco, though.
He was kind of...
The event before was Vegas.
Mm-hmm. Who else won? Has won?
Ooh. What if it was... No, Isaac Robinson was having a good year when he won at Idlewild last year. He's got to be, because like it's got to be a weird player. Greg Barsby won Texas States.
That could, but when?
Last year, right? Two years ago, last year?
Oh, yeah, that really feels like it could be it. Greg Barsby, last year or 2 years ago?
Well, was Texas States a silver when he won? Because Trevor just said that wasn't. I don't know either. I like the Colton Montgomery answer, but I don't know if it's right.
I think Colton...
I like Colton. I like Barsby. I don't think I like Bradley Williams.
Okay.
Because when Bradley won the Preserve, I feel like he was having an okay season before. I'm trying to think anyone else that it could be. There's definitely other names. I mean, Kyle Klein, I think. Kyle Klein didn't win Idlewild. He was close. He might have won Idlewild.
It's a really hard question.
Who do you feel? Do we want to go Greg Barsby?
I mean, Greg Barsby makes sense to me, but they all like all those names could fit into that category of they could have done poorly and then did do really well. But I just can't imagine.
Or do you want to go Big Germ?
I just can't imagine Greg Barsby just having a great season, like a good season, and then winning. It just doesn't. Feels like it would have been more out of nowhere.
We're going to go with him?
Let's do it.
Let's go Greg Barsby.
Darn.
Well, it's actually pretty tough to guess because it was Simon Lazat.
Last year, he won
the MVP Open a week after missing cash at GMC.
Dang.
There you go.
That makes sense.
All right, last one.
I'm just looking up Greg Barsby.
Low consistency, so Johnny high potential.
Johnny McRae.
Love him.
He is... Just Mr. Turbo. Three wins, which actually now I think he's only two pro wins away from the 200 pro wins club, the PGA. Wow. He would only be the ninth player, FPO and MPO, joining this list of...
We were right, but Greg Barsby didn't win Texas States.
Dang.
Oh. He performed very well there, but he missed cash at Vegas and Waco and then came in third at Texas States.
Okay.
So there's eight other people on this list of 200 pro wins.
200 pro wins.
You guys are going to go back and forth, see who can win. Oh, trying gosh. To name them.
Do I start or do I go second?
Connor, you can start.
200 pro wins. In this MPO and FPO?
Yes.
There's Ken Climo.
Correct.
Brian Schweberger.
Correct.
Barry?
Correct.
I draw the obvious ones.
I know. I'm out.
I 200 so
many. There's so many. I'm trying to think of FPO. I can't. Lane I can't King. Do it, though.
Correct.
I'm trying to think of some of the FPO players who've been around for a long time, but we might have just named the only one that has 200 wins. And eight people, maybe not.
How many people have we said? We've said cause
four.
Eight, we've not four. Including Johnny.
Correct.
So we've called four. Halfway there.
Oh, gosh.
There's probably two more on this list that you would know, and they're both FPL.
Oh, dang. Dang it. Oh, I just forgot her name. Her name just slipped from my head.
Get it back.
I'm trying so hard. Because I got in my head is, Jennifer Allen.
No.
Dang it.
Des Redding?
Yes.
I was trying to think of
Paige Pierce.
No.
Dang it, Juliana Korver.
Yes.
Who was in my head was Juliana Korver.
Juliana Korver took that like long stint off. I didn't know how many wins. Who else? What are their MPOs? Paul got 200 yet?
Mike Moser is on the list. I don't know if you guys know that. And the other one is another FPO player, something white. I can't remember their first name. It wasn't written on there. It was just their initial.
Oh.
So
Juliana Korver was the name that was in my head that I couldn't
get out. What is Paul at?
As pro wins, I have no idea. It takes a like. I mean, I remember. I think Kat is actually close,
really,
to the 200 club.
That would
Paul's at 145 wins, but I don't know how many of those are pro. Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. 200 pro wins is pretty insane. You have to play a lot of Masters level golf.
Paul's got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 of his wins are MA1. So Paul's at 139.
He's not gonna get it. Unless he plays into his 50s and 60s.
Yeah, like Schwebby's at what, 330?
Because you have to kind of be. Yeah, I was going to ask about dominate Schwebby. The local.
Did you
scene.
Say Schwebby? Yeah.
I did.
Schwebby has the most wins all time, I believe.
370.
Yeah.
You said that for your first.
I think the 300 wins club.
I think you said his real name. That's why I didn't
see
register.
What Kat's at. Because she is like, I think she's like 186 or something. Imagine if I'm right on that.
Katrina Allen is at 180.
Okay. Yeah, let's see if she's getting close to that 200 club. Yeah. And hers are all pro, I think.
Nope. She's got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 AMs. Okay. She's at 173.
She's got a chance, though. But when I asked her about it, she was kind of like, I don't know, might retire.
Yeah, she needs to stop playing on the Pro Tour. She wants to get the 17 wins.
The local wins.
All right. Final talking point today. I want to highlight the Tim Selinski U.S. Masters just went down. A lot of players we just mentioned actually were playing there. But Philo Brathwaite took down his first ever major championship win.
Dang, tough showing for Feldberg.
The MP40 division won. It looks like in a playoff over Cale Lavisca. The MP40 division, like, it just gets... The Masters division just gets more and more fun. So, like, you had Philo, Cale out there, Dave Feldberg, Chris Shotwell, Dutch Napier. I don't think he was wearing Batman clothes, which was kind of depressing to me.
Oh.
That was a dude who was always wearing Batman. Remember him?
Yes.
Dutch, SpongeBob Prodigy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Shasta Chris was out there, Matt Dollar, Bobby Music.
Dude,
music, but I always said music.
Bobby Music is dirty.
Let's see if there's any other names on here. I'm sure there's a lot of other legends of the sport that I'm sure I'm just going over. Chris Zagone. I don't know why I know his name, but I do.
Okay.
And then FP40 at Owen Scoggins beating up on Jennifer Allen.
Only 10 women in that field versus 102 men in MP40. That's insane.
It's just the recent growth of FPL.
I guess so.
Because look at these names. They're all touring players. Owen Scoggins, Jennifer Allen, Holly Finley, Sarah Hokum, Zoe Andyke.
Zoe Andyke is 40 plus?
Wouldn't have guessed it.
Didn't know that.
MP50 at Johnny McRae taking it down.
Let's go Johnny.
See, Yeti, J. Yeti Redding was in this field.
Heck yeah.
That's right, Connor.
I don't see any other.
Oh, Dave Feldberg was in that one too. That was
David Fielding. I thought the same thing. Where's Brent? Where's where's Brinster? B, what's where's
Barry?
Rico?
Where's Barry?
Where was Barry? What division is Barry in?
Where you guys at?
Come on, Big Bear.
Patrick
Papa
Brown
Bear.
Won MP55. Juliana Corver won FP50. Let me go. Was
Patrick
Barry
Brown
Schultz
is
not here?
Dagum.
I don't know if all of them.
Barry Schultz did not play.
His brother Terry Schultz.
And who else was I just saying?
I don't know.
I just said
Schwab?
Someone. No.
Where was Schwab? Was he not there? I guess not everybody. That's funny because he's like a Masters champ. Where was this event? Was it somewhere like that people didn't want to travel to?
I think it was at Beaver State's courses.
And there's your answer. Oregon. And there's your answer. And they put events on the West Coast. It isolates a lot of people, it seems. And I never really thought of disc golf as an East Coast
sport.
Oh, that's
what I was saying. Steve Rico.
Which is interesting because you feel like Masters might, because it was like started.
Why was Steve Rico not out there, man?
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't disc golf started on the West Coast?
Well,
that's
it
what,
was.
Like,
it, would Bobby, think, it would make you think that Masters would be more popular out there.
Well, that's why there were so many names like Bobby Musick, who like, he was just a La Mirada legend.
Mm-hmm.
He's a La Mirada ledge.
All right, let's go over. Simon had some interesting Instagram takes to wrap up the show. We somehow made a long show out of this.
Simon,
we
always
do.
Every time there's not much to talk about,
we
go long.
We just start talking.
So Simon, first Instagram story said, disc golf needs more Mandos. I used to hate Mandos and thought it was poor course design, but the reality is that we don't have a real disc golf course yet that was built just for disc golf. Until then, we need more Mandos. And get rid of all drop zones. If you miss the Mando, play it where it lies with a stroke penalty. Also, all OB should be hazard, equals better game. Second slide. He said, also, we need areas that don't give you a stroke penalty but make your next shot more difficult, like forehand only, no run-up, or roller only. More skills will actually be beneficial.
There's like, he's like an every other take is good.
First take, disc golf needs more Mandos. I agree.
I'm fine with that.
Get rid of drop zones. Disagree.
Disagree hard. Disagree.
Yeah, because a lot of times, Mandos are still used for safety a lot of times.
Well,
like,
I don't.
You also could break holes. Like, I've seen holes where, like, the Mando's the only thing that's making me go up and turn there. So I could just, like, the hole's right here. I could have to throw
easy park it, take the stroke and get.
Yeah, or I could just, like, chuck through the woods, accept my stroke and.
Yeah.
It breaks holes. So drop zones, I think, are crucial. But I agree, more Mandos.
Literally, the point of the Mando is to make you go a certain way. And if you are going to play it where it lies, you now don't have to go that way.
You need to have a stroke,
Yeah, like it.
All OB should be
this
hazard.
This is the worst take.
Disagree.
Crazy disagree.
Hazard and OB should be different things.
Yeah.
There should be more hazard used in disc golf.
I agree hazard is underused, but OB. And, like, for example, I mean, you just mentioned the whole, like, we don't have disc golf courses built for disc golf. Well, like, New London, which is a fantastic course, most of the OB out there is because it's a protected area. So, like, you can't play from in there. That's the whole point.
Well, what I like about hazard, though, is there are some courses on, like, golf courses or stuff like that where the OB is just kind of, like, objectively thrown down. And you could rip a shot. Like, let's say I tried going roller for big distance. I got on the wrong angle. And I went OB, and where I went OB, I'm like 300 feet straight at the basket, but my disc just curls way back here. To where if it was hazard, my shot was so bad that I would be 400 feet away.
Yeah.
Playing in the hazard with stroke penalty, but because it's only OB, I'm actually having a better lie than when my disc is. So like
I just think that both can
coexist. Versus someone who like barely threw OB, and like if they're playing hazard, they'd be rewarded because they threw a much better shot than me.
Yeah.
I think there's a strategic place for hazard, but OB is crucial because what if that's a fairway?
Right, that's what I say. Oh, yeah, you got to have both. I think that stroke and distance OB should exist more.
Yes,
but I also understand that pace of play would get wrecked because right now our field isn't like it's not as deep as it could be.
Now the secondary one, areas where you don't get stroke penalties but make your next shot more difficult. I've always agreed with this. I don't agree with everything said in it. Forehand only? No.
No
run up is the only one I agree with.
Yeah.
Roller only? No.
That's the dumbest
thing.
That doesn't make any sense. Silly.
But no run up, I fully agree. I think that this is a great way, in my opinion. I like
the no run up.
I've even messed with in my head thinking through, like, should we allow run ups in the middle of the fairway? Like, run ups are. Now, the only thing is it makes disc golf less exciting, which is where I've always stopped the thought train. But, like, run ups are kind of like our tee in golf.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you don't really get to tee it up in the middle of the fairway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so, like, it would make you, like, be a little more strategic. But I like the idea of you're on a long par five, and the hazard on the right is no run-up. Stroke penalty, no run-up.
Yeah.
Or maybe no stroke penalty, just no run-up. So then, you know, if I go over there, it takes away my eagle chance. Because ball players can still throw 400-some feet,
you lose no accuracy run-up. If you try to throw that far.
You don't have the run-up to give you that extra, like, if it requires two 500-foot shots, and I throw my first 500-foot shot into the hazard, and I have to go stand still second, it takes eagle completely out of play.
Now, imagine this. Now, this is a... This would not work for the reason of flight numbers being inaccurate, but imagine if there were places you landed where like you had to throw a certain speed disc, like you could only throw up to a putter. It'd be like landing in the sand and having to take enough loft to get yourself out of the sand. That would never work because of flight numbers being inaccurate, but that would be interesting.
Well, what disc golf, as course design advances and you can manipulate the ground, one thing that you could factor in is you could have an area where like the right side of the fairway drops down a little bit and then levels off, what? And the basket's on the left side. So like if you go down there, you have to throw nose up to get over this little hill.
Yeah.
So that you can't like it. It requires a much tougher shot because
that's
you,
a cool
like,
idea.
Can't question: it.
What material could we use in a bunker that is safe? Like the it's not quicksand, but is so tough to maneuver in that players are just going to not want to even take a run up.
I think it would have to be just like. It had to be like beach sand.
Just like really fluffy sand.
Like the high, when you first get to the beach.
Yeah.
That sand.
Where it's super you're like, fine and you're like sinking in it.
Yeah.
Because I'm saying like that would be interesting. Because like if you take away run-ups, there are some players that function, I'm one of these players, that function so much off of tempo that they get through their run-up, even if it's just a tiny one, that like some players would just be awful.
You could also just do like really tall grass.
That's also true.
Yeah.
Really tall grass is annoying.
The problem... Why I like sand
probably
more
you just can't
for
make
the future
that look good, really.
Is yeah. A, yes, long grass you can't really make look good. B, it makes you like, it has a lot of like lasting repercussions.
Well, so does sand. You get sand all in your shoes if you're throwing
but
in sand.
But you just dump out.
Yeah.
Would you rather have sand in your shoes or chigger bites all over your legs?
Well,
yeah. So yeah. That's more so the long grass, you'll lose discs.
Yeah, long grass, like there's you're losing discs and all that, like sand.
Because
like you could also go like the clay route. Very similar effect, way cheaper. You just pour some water on the right side.
Yeah, just slippery.
But
then you have injuries.
We're just making
now
ice.
It's just like now it's just yeah. taking
ice
your shoes. Mm-hmm. So
I think you could probably do
the
right
is
sand.
The best way. But
well, and if you made bunkers that were like really bowl shaped to where they funnel your disc to a point to where like there's just not really room to run up and the sand like you could
what
definitely
you
design hay? It away.
Just like a lot of hay.
Well, you know. If you have a spot where you can alter a course enough, you could just make a dig out the bunker similarly, so it has a big lip. It's and basically just make it where in there there's never a good footing because you're always downhill
really
or uphill.
Or maybe making
not
them,
uneven like it's smooth, but it's just a bolt.
Maybe making them
to where like you're having to run downhill and throw uphill, or you're having to run uphill and like, get up over.
Have you ever watched like golf on like at like St. Andrews or Links courses where they have pot bunkers to where the lips are like as tall as them?
Yeah,
that's what they need because then. Once you go in them, you're either throwing out sideways or you're going to have to go like overhand or throw something super nose up.
Well, I think one of the...
That would work.
One of the keys with a lot of it too is in disc golf, like when courses don't have a specific... Like in golf, you see someone go in the sand, you've been in the sand.
Mm-hmm.
You understand how difficult that shot is. They're also still relaying how difficult that shot is. Disc golf courses right now, there are scenarios like this. Like there is tall grass. There are areas where it's really low ceiling, whatever. But because as a viewer, it's not obvious on coverage and it's not a blatantly obvious thing. Like he's in a sand trap in the middle of a fairway. I know I can't get out of that as a golfer. Personally, I can't. So I'm impressed whatever he does out.
That is true.
Mm-hmm. In disc golf, that doesn't exist because it's so unique course to course. It relies heavily on commentary to explain how tricky of a situation they're in.
Very true. Mm-hmm.
Which isn't happening.
Because a lot of the
because, like,
stuff is
I've played Idlewild, and it's OB, I believe. But Idlewild has on one of, like, long par fives downhill a lot of tall grass. I've played it where I wasn't playing it as OB. We were just kind of, like, chucking. And I was like, oh, I'm going to just try to see if I can even get up and down. And I tried running up in it, and I couldn't. Like, I could not run up. It was too thick. Your feet. So I had to go stand still to throw out of it. So, but if like a player decided to run up and just flawlessly executed it, if it wasn't conveyed to me how thick and how hard that shot was, then I'm just thinking he just threw it through it. Like, right. Yeah, he just ran up in tall grass. Okay.
Yeah.
It is the tricky, it's the trickiest thing about disc golf is the idea that, like, other than running up, our lie on the ground doesn't really matter that much. And that just makes it so much harder to make a pretty way to inhibit players. And so that's why courses just keep getting longer. Because like, that's the easiest way right now.
If we throw player safety out the window.
So we ice bunkers.
Could go ice, but middle of July.
No, you're just going to, so, you're going to be ice rinks.
Just undulations. Just like foot high and then foot crevice. So it's like, so you have to do like a football tower drill, like a football just tire put
tires
drill.
Out there. There we go.
Now that's a good idea.
That's not a good idea. That was actually, I pointed because there was a course.
That existed.
I won't speak of the course because I don't want to say anything
I've negative played that about course.
This. We played it and there was a chance of Worlds being there. Not a chance of. Worlds was going to be at this course. And the course designer put tires down where he estimated Paul McBeth's drive was going to land because he was like, I think this is where Paul's drive is going to land. So I want him to not have a good run up when he landed. Great line of thought. I understand line of thought.
Where
like, this
was
is a very,
that?
I can't say it because you'll know, everyone will know okay. who I'm talking about if I say it. Great.
Fever dream.
Good line of thought as far as the, I want to make a run up difficult.
Mm-hmm.
Tires, terrible way to do it, especially for a major. Mm-hmm. So needless to say, the major stayed in that general area. Course got moved.
Mm.
But tires, if we can find a natural tire, there you go.
There you have it.
That's grip locked. We'll be back next week. Where are we going to be next week when we do it?
I don't even remember.
Utah or somewhere?
Probably, yeah, somewhere west.
Utah or Nevada.
Somewhere west.
Or South Carolina, no. Something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dirty Myrtle. We're going to be the Outer Banks next week.